Good morning, Radio Statler. You're here live with Cable Flame, and we are going to have a little fireside chat. Hopefully you won't be too bored this hour as I chat with you and we talk about all sorts of interesting things. You remember, you can always contact us on our IRC channel, which is on 2600 net at pound radio hyphen Statler. We also have our live webcam here, which is at, I'm not exactly sure what our address is. And feel free to say hi to me and tell me if I'm doing an okay job or not, and we will, you know, maybe can we have a little chat this morning. So, let's see here. So, I have to admit, I'm not really a morning person. I just kind of woke up at 7:30 myself and was having a really weird and interesting dream. And dreams are kind of interesting because, they have, at least, I don't know if anybody else's dreams are this way, but my dreams have this ability to bring about emotions. They're not even necessarily about the content, I've figured out. I mean, the content can always be all sorts of strange stuff, but they're there specifically to invoke emotion in me. Unfortunately, I am in some way separated from my father. He's not a very healthy person for me to be around or to talk to, and I had this dream where I had to talk to my father, and it was just, woke up with my heart racing and all that. It was just, you know, pretty awful. And is it really interesting how, like, it's like my dreams are specifically engineered to create different emotions in me, and that, you know, as we could kind of talk about dreams here a little bit and talk about, you know, more of a life hacking thing. I don't know if anybody out there knows me. I've been known for years as that sex talk girl because one of my main hacker interests is human sexuality, and I have a tendency to give presentations on such. But I'm not just a one-trick pony, and I think people have a tendency to see me as such. And I'd like to, try to break out of that. I have a lot of different interests. I'm really interested in mass transit and in travel. I like food a lot. I've just recently started a foodie blog. I have a medical illness. I currently have a gallstone. And because of that, I have to eat a low-fat diet or else I get very sick. And so I've had an interesting time trying to be a foodie and also, you know, stay within that diet so I don't get sick. So I wrote a blog about it. It is, if you're interested. And please don't hack it. Be nice to me, folks. It is foodieinterrupted.tumblr.com. Feel free to go ahead and take a look at that and tell me if you like it or not. Let's see here. I've been doing a lot of life hacking in my life lately. It's been a really interesting experience. I don't know if any of you out there also have been kind of trying to chip away at your life to try to make it a better place. I started therapy last fall, and I've been on and off the therapy bandwagon for many, many years, trying to get my life kind of in order and stuff. I don't know if this is public knowledge or not, but I'm perfectly comfortable sharing it with people. I have both a mental disability and a mental illness, and one of the things I'm actually excited about this conference is to see people talking about this. There was a talk yesterday about neurodiversity and about people on the with autism spectrum disorder. It was an excellent talk, very good. I really enjoyed it. People with, I have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD, we are also considered neuro-non-typical, and that we sometimes share a lot of things in common with people on the autism spectrum. I know I certainly have a lot of the same problems and a lot of the same challenges that they do. I've been in therapy for about, it was Halloween. Halloween was my first therapy appointment. And I've been in therapy since then. I have the most wonderful therapists these days. And I've had a lot of, not crappy therapists, but therapists who were wrong for me in the past. And so I've been doing a lot of self-exploring, a lot of self-discovery, and a lot of self-growth. And I recently turned 30, and I know a lot of people see that, oh, you're getting older over the hill. But I found it's been a really amazing age for me because I feel like I'm still young enough to, you know, fun and party and crap, but that I'm also old enough that I don't have to freak out at every little thing that happens anymore. Like, I know what's going on a little more in life, and I feel like I'm finally getting the skills, and I feel like I have the skills to handle my life as it comes to me. But I'm also excited. Today, I believe, is a talk on geeks and depression. Mitch Altman, I believe, is putting together a panel on that. And that one really also really excites me because I also suffer from chronic treatment-resistant depression. And that basically means that you've tried a couple of different medications and they haven't worked. Personally, I have tried 8 different antidepressants. quite a few of the SSRIs, a couple of the SNRIs, and a couple of tricyclics. And I'm currently on a tricyclic. Took my pill this morning. And it's been an interesting journey because I've had meds do absolutely awful, horrible things to my brain, but I've also had them give me back my life in a way that I've never had before. When you have treatment-resistant depression, and I've had chronic depression for well over 10 years, it eats away at your life. There's this one amazing, amazing little paragraphy thing about what depression does to people and how it turns them into zombies who can't even, you know, wash a dish, or who, you know, have to, people, you know, to be nice to the people who have to take a pill so that they can make eye contact with a person at the grocery store. And it's spot on. It's amazing. Like, I know I'm known to be a very gregarious and bubbly and outgoing person here at the conference, but so it may surprise you to know that I too suffer from depression. But I think it's really important that we start talking about this, not just because of the recent sad suicide of Len Sassaman, but because there are, you know, millions of people who suffer from mental illnesses, mental disabilities, or who are neuro-non-typical, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. And that I think it's really important that we start talking about this. And I have to admit, you know, this is something I'd want to talk about for years, but I personally wasn't comfortable enough to come out and start talking about it, which that may sound funny coming from the person who's willing to talk about just about any sex topic to anyone. I'm really glad to see that we're finally starting to talk about mental health issues in our hacker community, because I know I'm not the only one who has depression. I know I'm not the only one who has ADHD. I know I'm not the only one who has these challenges. So, if you want to come on the IRC and talk about it with me, that'd be fabulous. You know, we're all sitting by here and, you know, right here to talk to you guys. Therapy. I've been going through a lot of interesting things with my therapist, and oftentimes when I leave my therapy, I leave with this feeling that I can actually, you know, I have the tools I need to take on my problems. It doesn't make my problems go away, but I walk out the door and I'm like, okay, you know what? I can handle this. This it's gonna be okay. It might not be perfect, because I'm kind of a perfectionist. Either do it right or don't do it all. My father taught me that, and probably not always the best attitude to take towards life. I mean, there is something to be said for doing a good job, but when that desire to do a good job holds you back from doing anything at all, it's kind of counterproductive. But I feel like, you know, I can do this. I might not do it perfect, but I at least have the skills and the tools to go ahead and do this. And so I've been making an interesting amount of personal change in my life in the past 7-8 months. And one of the more interesting things that I've started to do that we could talk about a little bit today is I've started exercising. Yeah, I know, a geek, exercising. If you know me, you'll know that, you know, I'm fat and I'm not ashamed to use the word. It's part of who I am. And, I'm kind of big into the size acceptance movement and the fat acceptance movement, basically saying that people of all sizes don't deserve to not be mocked or ridiculed for their size, whether you're super skinny or super fat, and because we're all human beings. And you know, how nice is it to make fun of other people? I'm a big advocate, you know, I'm a big anti-bullying advocate, especially because I went through an extreme amount of bullying in high school to the point that it gave me post-traumatic stress disorder. So I've started exercising. When I was diagnosed with my gallstone, and I was diagnosed at the beginning of November, after 6 weeks of being in a ridiculous amount of pain and agony from eating meals that were making my gallstone get stuck in the tube that goes to the stomach, and trying to push out the bile, and it didn't come out, and oh God, you can't imagine the pain. After getting diagnosed, I had to start on this low-fat diet, and It was around the end of the year, and, you know, so around the time you start thinking about New Year's resolutions. I've never been a big resolution person, but for a couple of years I'd wanted to try exercising again, because I was actually skinny as a child and very good shape and very active as a child. I used to cycle a lot. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, and I used to cycle a lot as a child, or especially as a teen. I didn't drive, so my way of getting out of the house and just getting away from the rents was to hop on the bicycle and just go. I'd make up my mind where I was going as I went. You know, I'd approach a road, turn right or left, and I'd serendipitously pick one, and I would cycle through the absolutely gorgeous countryside of South Central Pennsylvania. If you are the type who enjoys the woods, I highly recommend going and visiting the Cumberland Valley in Pennsylvania. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. There's a little bit to do there, but if you like to just get away from it all, it's a gorgeous place to go. So, you know, feel free, you know, go ahead and go. So I used to cycle as a child. I took swimming lessons from kindergarten on up. I'm actually Red Cross certified in swimming through all the levels except for the one right below lifeguard. I could never pass the 20 lap in a row swimming test with the specific kind of strokes they wanted. I never had the endurance as a child to do it, but I'm actually quite an accomplished swimmer. And this time, however, I decided I was just going to start with walking, because I'm not going to say everyone has 2 feet and everyone can walk, but, you know, the vast majority of people have 2 feet and the vast majority of people can walk, and it's an easy thing to do. And so I decided, I knew that if I bought something to kind of exercise tracker or tool, that I would, if I bought some kind of exercise tracker or tool, I'd kind of feel obligated to exercise, as I don't like to waste money. So I went out and I bought one of the Nike Plus Apple sensors that you put, that you put in your shoe to track your walking and to track your running. And I started using that. I got that on December 1st because it actually marks when you do it. And since then, I have started walking. I have a wonderful housemate who's also a techie geek and who is a trail runner. And he's the one who, because he's a trail runner, I asked him for some advice on it. And he also, he knows I'm heavy set, so he knows that, you know, I'm going to have to modify some stuff. Maybe probably shouldn't start straight out with running, because, you know, I never really ran before. And he was very kind for Christmas. He bought me a wonderful, really good pair of running shoes and some insoles in them for the way that my feet work. And if you've ever had foot pain, go to a really good running shop and, you know, spend the money to get fitted properly and get a good pair of insoles. Like, spend the money. You will be amazed at how much you can walk or just stand or walk around more. I was blown away with what my proper insoles did for me. Even just, they're just my favorite pair of shoes now. I just go everywhere in them and I just don't tire out the way I used to. So I got that. I got my sensor. I got my little pouch here that holds the sensor to my shoe, and I started walking. And because it was winter, I started walking. There's my little apartment complex has a tiny, tiny, tiny little exercise room, so I started walking on the treadmill, and I just, you know, walked until I got tired, or, you know, and then pushed a little beyond that. My body still knows how to give me an exercise endorphin high because of all the exercise I did as a child. So, and I just do that. And I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I don't have a car. Part of that's by choice. And so I walk everywhere. So I would track my walking to the bus, and I would start, sometimes I'd walk a little extra in there, and I just start tracking my walks. And I just start, you know, walking a little more every time and pushing myself a little more. And it's been amazing. I've been seeing actual results. I have my down days. Do not think I don't. But, like, I think a lot of people out there think, you know, exercise is inaccessible. Or, you know, you have to already know what you're doing. Or, you know, it's not for geeks. You know, we're geeks, but why should we go exercise? It's really made a big difference in my life. And if you're kind of into life hacking and trying to improve your life, I recommend exercise. I understand that, you know, not everybody can do all forms of exercise. And I would certainly, you know, never say that, you know, you have to be skinny. That's ridiculous. I never did this to lose weight. I have lost weight, but that was never my goal. So I started walking, and I can walk a 5K now. I realize I don't walk it that fast compared to other people, but I've noticed over the months my speeds have gotten faster. I can walk about a 20-minute mile now, which I realize isn't that fast compared to other people, but I'm short. I have short, stubby little legs, and it's faster than the 24-minute miles I was walking. So, you know, little progress, and it was really interesting because I have more energy in my life. I feel better in my life. I used to struggle a lot with stairs, and I still struggle with them, but not nearly as much, and it's just been a really amazing journey. In March, I started weightlifting again. I used to weightlift a little bit in high school. And so I've been getting back on that, and I've been really enjoying the weightlifting. It makes me feel strong and powerful, and that's a really cool feeling to have. And it's kind of just like getting back in touch with your body. I know a lot of us geeks have a tendency to be in our minds and to think about our minds are what matters. But, you know, we've got this meat sack called a body attached. And, you know, until we can, you know, those who choose to can upload their bodies into some kind of robot thing, then, you know, excuse me, until that point, we've got the bodies that we've got. And I found it's really been interesting to take care of it better, too. The eating better hasn't been by choice, obviously. I've been forced into this. And when you have a chronic illness or that you have to change your diet for, it's, and especially the way mine is, I have to eat low fat. I've been lucky. I only have one gallstone. My gallbladder wasn't sickened by it. Unfortunately, my health insurance doesn't cover the removal of it. Or if it does, I have to go through a major, major amount of hassle to get it removed. Thanks a lot, Maryland Medicaid. Appreciate it. So I can cheat a little bit. I've been really lucky. Some people, even if they eat the low-fat diet, they're still having attacks. I've been extremely lucky, and that hasn't been the case for me, so I can cheat a little bit, but not too much. And it's really interesting having to be on a diet when you have medical needs for it, because, I mean, except low fat, it's not, there are no good fats or bad fats. There's just fats. Like, you know, whether I would want to eat French fries or potato chips, or I'd want to eat, say, an avocado, it doesn't matter. It's still fat. And it's been really interesting trying to figure out how to, as I put it on my blog, pursue the path of culinary bliss at the same time that I have to, you know, eat within this restriction. I kind of compared it once to a haiku or a cinquain or a sonnet, poetry with very restricted forms, because I can, you know, do whatever I want within there. The joy of the way mine works is that I can have a bite of just about anything. So, you know, I'll go with friends and I'll be like, oh, that cheesecake looks great. Can I have a bite? So I can still get my fix, if you will, or, you know, can I have a French fry? And I've learned that my appreciation of lipids in foods has increased in many ways. Like, that French fry tastes amazing. But I've also learned that my taste specifically for fried foods has diminished incredibly. I mean, I used to love fried foods, you know, lots of people do, but when I eat it now, it's good, but it doesn't have that same je ne sais quoi that it used to have. And it's a little disappointing. If I knew that was going to happen, I probably would have picked out a little harder on fried foods right before I was diagnosed, or heck, 6 weeks before, you know, I had my, or, you know, previous to the 6 weeks before I started having attacks. But so, you know, there's been the food thing, there's been the exercise thing, and it's made a huge impact in my life. And since it was such a mild winter, I was able to walk outside all through the winter, and I was really grateful for that. It's been a ridiculously hot summer, though, and I don't always get the exercise I wanted to. But 2 weeks ago, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, my power went out along with about a million other people in the Washington, D.C. area and who had their power out. And it was awful, especially because the day that it went out, it was, I believe, 101 degrees Fahrenheit. And crazy, crazy hot. It was crazy hot. And, like, I was going to go for a short walk through my park because I have a nice park right nearby. And I was tracking it with my sensor, and it was just too hot to even take a casual stroll. It was crazy. And power went off. We had a horrible thunderstorm that night. It was the wind, actually. It was just awful. And my power went out, and I didn't get back for a while, and I actually had a kind of a rough time there because went to my mother's house for one night. She lives about two, like I said, I live about 2 hours away in Pennsylvania, and my father was away for the weekend, so I didn't have to be around him, but he was going to be coming home on Sunday, so I was frantically trying to find a place to go, and I ended up at the house of my, I suppose, call him my, it's complicated, and he actually put me up and he lives in New Jersey, and he put me up for, actually, in about 2 weeks. Once my power was out that long, it was just that I was going to attend Hope, and we were going to have a bit of a vacation anyways, so I just stayed, and I will publicly state how grateful I am to have him and his friends in his house put me up, and they all took care of me, and it was pretty awesome. And it wasn't always perfect, but, you know, you get by, but just because of that, I've been away, and I've been away from my usual routines, and I've been having a hard time exercising. So today, you know, if you're here at Hope, from 9 to 10 a.m. in the gym. To get to the gym here in the hotel, you go to the 18th floor. You're going to the bathrooms, and you make the left. And you go to the end there, and at the right, you'll see something about the fitness center. There's a door there. You go up the stairs, and then you'll see the stairs split off twice. You go to the left, and that's where you find the fitness center. And we are having hackers in a gym. This is for people of all interests. It's for people of all ages and all abilities, whether, you know, you're a regular to the gym or whether you've just been curious about exercise. I organized it because I knew a number of hackers who do exercise, and I thought it would be cool to get together and do some stuff. Let's see. Deb Drop says, I like how people think exercise does anything. I have to be honest, I felt the same way until I actually started doing it. All I can talk about is my own experiences, and I found that I do have better energy. I can lift things easier, and, you know, it doesn't make me, I don't feel like I'm a better person for it. Hey, you know, look at me, I'm all in shape and you're not, so there. I mean, screw that, you know? You know, screw that noise. I don't really care. I don't think of people in those terms. It's about the kind of person you are. And it's funny, I was actually talking about this just the other day. And about, you know, it's about the kind of person you are, not about, I don't really care what your accomplishments are. I don't really care, you know, what you look like. I care about, you know, who you are as a person. So, you know, I just find that the exercise has really helped me as a person. Anyways, we're having hackers in a gym. And if you've ever been curious about starting exercise, because I remember I was curious for years and I was terrified of going into a gym, just terrified. And I'm trying to make this a supportive environment for anybody who, if they'd like to start trying out the gym, even if they just want to walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes at a slow pace, there'll be no judgment. We won't laugh at you. We won't make fun of you. We're not going to call you a noob, you know? Like, everyone has to start somewhere and you're welcome to join us. Or, you know, if you're an old timer at the gym and you lift every other day, or, you know, if you do your cardio or whatever you do, you know, come join us. We'd love to have you. So that's at 9, from 9 to 10 a.m. today at the gym on the 18th floor. We are having hackers in a gym. What the fuck are begonias? Yes, begonias are plants. That is true. I'm reading our Radio Statler feed here. Yes, begonias are plants, folks. Let's see here. Is there anything that our Radio Statler people would like to have me talk about? Because I've rambled for a good 24 hours, but I'd like to hear some of your feedback. What interests you? What makes you tick these days? You know, we're all standing by here, and I can read your feed from here. Unfortunately, I can't type back at you, but I can always talk to you on the radio, and there is our video feed over here. Hello, video feed. Yes, you will see I'm actually in my exercise clothing, ready to go. But let's see here. So, yeah, I've been kind of life hacking lately. I've been hacking my brain in different ways, both talking to my therapist and with my new medication. And the medication has been a ride because apparently my brain is hypersensitive to psych pills. And that's been interesting, as I've had a couple days there where I've tried new pills and they were the absolute wrong pill for me. And I was just out, just either so sleepy I could barely move, or just really, really messed up in the head, like really messed up in the head. And it's been One of the pills that I took one pill at a standard therapeutic dose, and it took me literally months to get completely over it. Like, just rewired my brain in a way you can't imagine. And it was absolutely awful. I'm lucky I've had an extremely supportive, well, support system. You know, my mother has been supportive. There's someone else in my life. He's really supportive. My therapist is really supportive. And it's great to know everybody's on my side with this. But it's been life hacking. It really has been. I'm trying to kind of get myself back on some kind of track here, even if it's not, you know, even if I can never. Currently, my depression has been bad enough that I haven't been able to work because I'll just have these awful attacks and just stop functioning. But, you know, it'd be great to be able to get back to work eventually. But if that's not possible, you know, if that's just not in the cards, I understand. But just to be able to be stable enough to be able to go through life without, frankly, you know, wanting to hurt myself or wanting to kill myself, you know, I'll say it straight up. You know, these things happen and it affects a lot of us. And I'm wondering if anyone else out there. Not manic depressive, no. Let's see here. My workhouse help. Let's see. Reading your little feed here. You know, to those of us just tuning in, I am diagnosed with both ADHD and chronic depression, which is treatment resistant, excuse me. And I know I'm not the only one. You don't hear much about treatment-resistant depression. In fact, I only found out about it within the past couple of months that I'm not the only one who does not necessarily respond well to this standard antidepressant drugs, and that there are other people out there who are trying to struggle and get through with trying to either find the right drug for them or having to do alternative therapies. And it's hard, especially when you read all the websites and they're like, oh, there's hope, blah, 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 go to therapy, you know, take pills, blah, blah, blah. And you try it and it keeps not working and it keeps not working and it keeps not working. And it's really frustrating because you're doing all the right things. And maybe this is myself, maybe I need to get over this, but I'm the kind of person that, like, if I'm doing the right things, I want my reward. I did the right thing. This is where you reward me, right? Yeah. You do good, you get rewarded. Life doesn't work that way. Yeah. So much fun. So it can be really frustrating, especially when you're already depressed and you're trying to deal with this stuff. And it's just, some days it's just a struggle. I'm not the kind of person who can't get out of bed. I'm the kind of person who can't get out of the house. So it can just be such a struggle to get out of the house. I'm an extrovert. I'm one of those rare extroverted geeks who really, really needs other people. And it can be a hard time to try to make plans, to interact with people, and make plans to interact with people. I see most of my friends in my area seem to be very, very busy, and it can be very hard to make plans with them. And they're wonderful people, but I'm realizing I need to make some more friends, some friends who like to hang out on a regular basis, friends that I can see, you know, once a week or maybe a couple times a week, and friends who live, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, friends who live on my side of the Beltway instead of the opposite side of the Beltway in Northern Virginia. I live in Maryland. And It can be really challenging, especially like when you're doing the right things and it's just not working and you know you have to keep plugging through it. And I'm sure, you know, hackers have encountered this in a myriad number of ways, you know, whether you're working on code or you're trying to break into something or you're hardware hacking or just, you know, whatever kind of hacking you do, whether, you know, or kitchen hacking. I love to mess around in the kitchen and, you know, sometimes I'll try to make dishes and they won't turn out, especially with my new low-fat thing. I made a beautiful-looking tzatziki. If you don't know what that is, it's a Greek yogurt sauce. It's delicious. I made it. I used fresh herbs. It looked gorgeous. It had no flavor. Apparently, it needed, because I use rather non-fat yogurt. Apparently, I needed a little bit of fat in the yogurt to really, the oils to draw that flavor out, because it was awful. Low-fat pizza has been the bane of my culinary existence. I cannot seem to make a low-fat pizza that tastes good. It just tastes awful. Everything I've tried, trying to find a low-fat cheese that tastes good after melted, forget it. If you know of a good low-fat cheese that melts that tastes good after you melt it, please, please let me know. Tell me in our IRC channel here. Let's see here. What are people talking about? Not that much. Yes, Andrew. Oh, so I think somebody mentioned my Android shirt. Yes, I am wearing an Android shirt. It has two Androids holding hands. Excuse me. And one of them is holding a Rainbow Pride flag. Not this year, but previous year, I marched in the New York City Pride Parade, with a friend of mine who lives here in New York City, who actually is at the convention today, and he works for Google, and we marched in the Pride Parade together, and it was a lot of fun, and let's see, and we had a really great time. So that's what I'm wearing here. I'm wearing that with my exercise shorts, which, yes, are spandex. I will wear spandex. I do not care, and that's kind of what I'm wearing here. Let's see here. Anything new on Radio Statler? Not really. All right. Let's see. What am I going to ramble about next at you? New projects. Oh, because I spent 2 weeks in New Jersey, I was able to spend some time at a hackerspace. It's been hard for me. I've always wanted to get involved in a hackerspace, and I know I have Hack DC in DC, and that's wonderful, but I don't really find I fit in there. I haven't really felt all that welcome there at times. Maybe I need someone to bring me under their wing and, you know, try to, I'm not just the kind of person who's just like, all right, you're here, go do your thing. I want to learn something new. You know, tech hacking has never been my end of the equation. It's never been my thing. And so, you know, I'd love to learn about stuff. Like, I can't just show up and, you know, quote, do my Arduino project because I don't know anything about it. And I will admit, you know, I learn best by having a mentor and learning from another person. I've gone on rants before on why just saying RTFM is not necessarily helpful to everybody, and it's not welcoming, and it's not necessarily going to be conducive to getting people into your hackerspace and building that community. Sometimes, you know, some people want to be welcomed with open arms and find some kind of mentor to help them with the project. And that's just how some people learn. And I realize that that the old timers who are really into the RTFM thing, they're like, well, I didn't have one, so why should anyone else? But how nice is that? You know, like, I'm big on being a good person and being a nice person and just being a generally friendly person and going out and reaching out to people and doing, you know, what's necessary for them to get them involved. So you can make a fake cheese with garbanzo beans, somebody put. That's interesting. If you could type in more about how to do that, let me know. Does it really taste like cheese? I'm picky about my cheese. Like, it's got to taste like cheese. I know you can get nutritional yeast to make fake cheeses. And I've never done it. I need to probably pick some stuff up. Someone else said cheeseless is good when it comes to pizza. I'm of the opinion if it doesn't have cheese, it's not pizza. Like, that's just me. I have certainly had tasty cheeseless pizzas, but I want the cheese. That's part of what does it for me. But, oh, hackerspaces. So I was lucky enough to be able to spend a bit of time at the wonderful FUBAR Labs in Highland Park, New Jersey. They, I believe, are at FUBARLabs.com. There's a wonderful group of people there. I recommend stopping by on their Thursday night drop-ins to say hi to the gang and to check out their stuff. They've got some really cool stuff. They've got a laser cutter. They've got a MakerBot cupcake, 3D printer. They've got a lot of space on their tables. They teach classes. The reason I was excited, though, is because they have a sewing machine. And I've wanted to learn how to sew for a very long time. And as I've mentioned with my own life hacking, I've been trying to do one thing that scares me or that's outside of my comfort zone around once a week, maybe more, maybe a couple times a week. So I've been doing all sorts of interesting things. I wrote a rap song. Yes, me rapping. I can't rap. You know, I like to joke that my name would be MC Chunky Flow because my flow be chunky. Yeah, not so good at this. But I did it, and I'm proud of myself, and I even put it up on YouTube. I know I'm crazy, you know, like, I'm totally gonna get all the trolls on there, everyone's gonna be making fun of me, and, you know, please be nice. This is me trying something new, you know, like, I spent the time to create. Don't just take the time to destroy, you know, build people up. It's, we all, what does destroying do for us as people, as a community? I don't think it really does anything, but, you know, building someone up and trying to speak to people's positive aspects, or, you know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything, you know. I realize criticism is, you know, constructive criticism is an important part of the growth process, but, you know, let's be nice here. But anyways, I put it up on YouTube, and I feel like I'm absolutely crazy to have done that, but hey, I did it, and I'm proud of myself. And another thing I always wanted to try was t-shirt hacking, you know, buying t-shirts, cutting them up, doing cool things with them. So I started doing that, and I did a couple of projects at FUBAR Labs, and I had a wonderful member of their hackerspace there. I'm not gonna say her name on the air. I don't know how out she is about a real name, but she took me under her wing. She showed me how to use the sewing machine, and she had some time off because she's a teacher, so she had time off in the summer, and we went around to various thrift stores to buy t-shirts. And we went to various fabric stores to buy fabric, and we found this amazing Space Invader fabric with like Space Invaders all down the Space Invaders all on it. It's black Space Invaders on a white background, and we had just found a t-shirt that had Space Invaders on it. It was too small for me, so I did this thing where I put panels in the sides of the t-shirt. If you can view the video, it's like in here and then on the other side. And I'm actually going to be wearing it tonight to the Chiptunes concert, if you want to take a look at it. And it's my very first sewing project, and I made some mistakes. I actually probably would have had to cut up the fabric 3 times, except I'm like, screw it, I'll make it work, because I was just getting frustrated with it. But, you know, I made it, and I set it in the sewing machine, and it was just something I've always wanted to do. I bought a bunch of other t-shirts, and I've been cutting them up and doing things where you, like, tie them together and making cool stuff. And I really feel I like this hackerspace. I feel welcome there. I guess it's no small part to my It's Complicated, who introduced me to it and who, you know, kind of got me on my feet there a bit. But it's a wonderful hackerspace. I'll pimp them out again. FUBAR Labs in Highland Park, New Jersey. If you're in the New Jersey area, go and check them out. They have open hack nights on Thursday nights. And I definitely, you know, I highly recommend them. They're great folk, and they've got a great space. And sometimes they throw some parties and stuff. And they actually had a party on the day before the 4th of July where they had a grill. So we got the grill out, and we made burgers. And I had my low-fat chicken burgers. And there were burgers, and there were, you know, people brought some brewskis, and it was just a really great party. And, you know, some people brought their kids, so there were some kids running around, and I think people were watching Ghostbusters, which I'm like, I haven't seen this in years, and we're all laughing along with it. There is only Zool, you know, it was good times. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, and it was nice to find a hackerspace with such friendly folk, and where I didn't feel like I had to already know what I was doing. I felt very welcomed. I felt very like, hey, it's cool that you're totally new to this, you know? We'll ask questions, we'll teach you, you know? And somebody taught me how to use the MakerBot. And, you know, I knew a little bit about it. I'm actually good friends with Rob T. Firefly, and I, you know, he works there. And so I'd seen them in use before I'd seen him use one. So I was a little familiar with it, but someone sat me down and showed me how to use the MakerBot, and we printed some stuff out. And then I was there on their open hack nights, and some new people came into FUBAR, and they were interested in the MakerBot. So I was nearby, I was free, so I'm like, here, well, you know, I just learned how to do this myself, but let me show you what I learned. So we went to Thingiverse, and we picked out something cool, and we went, and we printed it out, and they were like, this is awesome, we'll definitely come back. And I'm a big, big proponent of, I don't know where I got this phrase, but each one teach one. It doesn't matter what you know, it doesn't matter how well you know it, it doesn't matter, you know, if you just started, it doesn't matter if you know everything about it. There is some kind of knowledge that you have in you and that the world would love to hear. And to me, this is the hacker way. This is the hacker spirit. This is the hacker ethos. As I said, you know, I oftentimes talk, I give presentations on human sexuality. I am a adult sexuality educator, you know, in my non-hacker life. And I've always brought the hacker ethos to my sex education. One of the things I do is on my website, I share. After I give a presentation, my notes go up. And sometimes they're pretty detailed. My notes for my presentation go up on the website underneath that presentation. If there was audio or video taken, I am more than happy to put it up on the website. If I made a page with links for more information, I put it up on the website. I am huge. My website is Creative Commons. I am huge on the sharing of information, and I come at it from this angle of having been in the hacker community first, and I'm really big on this whole idea of information sharing. It makes no sense to me if there's something awesome, share it with the world. I remember watching the movie Antitrust when I was, I was in college, that was probably 2000 or 2001, and I really liked the movie, and I own it. And I watch it. I should watch it again. But one of the main things was the idea of human knowledge belongs to the world. And that just made me so happy because I genuinely believe in this. You know, I mean, I understand the idea of making money off of someone's intellectual property. But there are ways of making it both work. And I can't say that I'm an expert on them. You know, maybe hopefully someone else will talk about that. But I'm huge on sharing information, which is kind of why I just had this little fireside chat with you this morning. I realize we haven't talked about traditional hacker topics. We've talked a lot about me and where I've come from, but maybe me and where I've come from is going to help some you out there. I've never, as I was telling my It's Complicated last night, as we were walking back from a concert, I had mentioned trying things that take you out of your comfort zone. I went to a rap concert last night. First time. I'm not the type to go to clubs. We went to this little club, and they had a bar, and we had a beer, and we heard, you know, one of their opening acts, a pretty good rock group, don't remember their name. And then last night I heard a fabulous, fabulous rapper. Her name is Kay Flay. That's the letter K and F-L-A-Y. And she was just incredible. And one of the things she was rapping about at one point was about dealing with depression and taking medication for it. And I'm standing there, I'm crying. Straight out, I start crying, you know, and it's complicated. Looked at me, kind of smiled. And I yell into his ear because we both have earplugs in because it's loud, right? And I'm like, you know, I never expected that I would see myself, that rap would be accessible to someone like me. You know, I'm female, I'm white. You know, to me, rap's all about, you know, gangsters and, you know, banging hoes and, you know, drive-bys. And it's not. Like, there is this whole other world of rap out there that talks about other people's real life experiences. I'm not going to say that's not somebody's real life experience because, you know, obviously, you know, gangster rap came from a place of being some people's real life experiences. But, you know, I never expected to see, frankly, you know, a skinny white girl with black hair up on the stage rocking the fuck out and just, and, you know, rapping her heart out and her soul out. And it was a great concert, and everyone had a good time. And it was scary for me. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I had a beer because I was nervous. You know, I wanted a little something to calm me down. I'm sure all the caffeine I drank beforehand didn't help, but I felt really out of my comfort zone. But I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to push myself out of my comfort zone to try new experiences, because you try them and you find out that they're not nearly as scary after a while. And, you know, I encourage all of you to go out and try something new. You know, it can be small. It can be, you think, oh, this is insignificant. Maybe you're not a very adventurous eater. Try a new food, you know, find someone. But, you know, if you need to find someone safe to, you know, guide you through these experiences, I get that completely. You know, I can't do some of this stuff myself if it wasn't for having someone else there to help guide me through it and to help, you know, hold my hand when I need my hand held. Because, you know, we all get scared, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, trying new experiences and sharing the experiences you have with someone else. You know, maybe there's someone else in your life that you do something and that's totally foreign and new to them, and share it with them. We all grow and learn through our new experiences. And that's kind of what hacking is all about. It's all about each one, teach one, and share with others, and to just put yourself out there to the world. You know, we all grew up a little different, you know. Some of us grew up in the United States, some of us didn't. I'm sure some of us aren't even listening from the United States right now. So hello to all of our non-United States visitors, all United States listeners. I lived off and on in Toronto for two years. I lived in Toronto off and on for 2 years. And it was an interesting experience for me. I love Toronto. You know, shouts out to Hack Lab TO. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to go because Hack Lab TO is in an area called the Kensington Market, and they're not on the ground level. And I knew I was close. Again, to market's a very little dense little area with all sorts of neat little shops and stuff. If you're ever in Toronto, go to Kensington Market. It's wonderful. But I could find their access point. I totally could, you know, see their AP. But I looked around and I just could not find their door. So maybe one of these days I will actually find the door at Hack Lab TO. But I lived in Toronto for 2 years, and it really is an interesting experience living in a foreign country. Even you're like, oh, yeah, it's Canada. It's not that different. Mostly it's not that different, but there are tiny little differences. And my Canadian friends have, you know, had slight differences in the way they grew up. You know, obviously it's colder up there, but we had different media that they watched. I was at a party once for a friend of mine that grew up in the United States, but then moved to Canada and became a citizen. But all of his friends, we were all sitting around the computer and we were screwing around on YouTube like you do. And somehow, you know, the shows that we watched as children came up, and they had this one god-awful show called Rocket Robin Hood. It was, look it up on YouTube. Go find, you know, go on YouTube right now and find the opening video. It's Robin Hood set in space with jetpacks. I swear, it's What were they thinking? Oh my God. I can't remember if it's Nelvana or not, but everyone was singing along with it. And it was a weird experience to be in that room. And it's, being in Canada is just like being in the United States, except for when it's not. And it just kind of blindsides you upside the head. And you're like, oh, that's right. I'm in a foreign country. These are different people here. It's a slightly different culture. Food's a little different. They've got some really good food. Oh my God, poutine. If you ever have the chance, try it. They talk, sometimes it's, some people talk a little funny, some people don't. It all depends on where you are. There isn't one Canadian accent. There are multiple Canadian accents depending on where you live in Canada, just like there are multiple American accents depending on where you live in America. But, you know, if you ever have the chance to go to Canada, I definitely recommend it if you've never been before. It, especially if you have the chance to, you know, hang out with some folks and really get a feel for local life. I recognize going to Toronto and thinking you've been to Canada is a lot like going to New York City and thinking you've been to America. Yeah, you have, but it's only one small piece of it. I visited a very tiny town in Nova Scotia. I lived in Canada because my boyfriend at the time was from there, and we visited his father and his hometown, which is in the ass end of nowhere in Nova Scotia on Cape Breton Island, literally just on the Atlantic Ocean. It's nothing but you and the waves. And it was in December and it was freezing and we didn't have a car. And yeah, but it was an experience. And people there, they talked very different. And I had a hard time understanding them. I'm not going to make fun of them. I'm not going to say they talked funny. But they talked very different than I did. And it was a stretch. Like, I could not understand my boyfriend at the time, his father, like, at all. And it was really funny, too, because his father has a very dry sense of humor and enjoyed pulling the wool over my eyes. And so, you know, we were visiting him in the hospital, so there was this frail man who had a stroke and couldn't move one side of his body in a hospital bed, you know, talking laps around me. And he passed on last winter, so, you know, you're missed, Gary. Yeah, I enjoy being put in my place that way. But it's, you know, it's been an interesting experience. You go travel. At some point, I'm probably going to grab one of the non-scheduled track talks and do a talk on hacking travel, except not a talk, a roundtable discussion. So I know a little bit about, you know, travel on the cheap. I'm very good with the transit aspects of that. You know, maybe you know a lot about cheap hotels, or, you know, you're very much into couch surfing. You know, please come talk, share your knowledge as we'll share ours. And we can talk about, you know, getting around cheap. We can talk about getting around in interesting ways. You know, we can talk about exploring it, cool things about our world. But we've got this whole world out there and it's full of interesting experiences. And I love experiencing those experiences and visiting new places, eating new food. Oh, I love eating new foods. And just, you know, there's so much out there. I've always been more into the social aspects of hacking and into the cultural aspects of hacking than the tech aspects. And that's okay. It's different ways of going at it. Okay, I am reading Radio Statler. Just, you know, once again, a reminder, if you want to join our IRC channel, it is on 2600net at /radio-statler. That's STATLER. And let's read some of the interesting things. People are saying, go Canada, we get free gallstone removals. Yes, yes, you do get free gallstone removals. And let's see, Rocket Robin Hood needs to be sponsored by SanDisk. Someone asked, what's your handle on couch surfing? My handle on couch surfing, as 99% of the places on the world are Cable Flame. That would be C4BL3FL4M3. That's all of the vowels are numbers, all the consonants are letters. So that's what I can be found as just about everywhere on the web. If you can't find me, is that there because some sites don't let you use the same handle as your email, then throw in ones for the L's and you can find me on those sites. So I'm pretty much the same everywhere on the internet. Just about everywhere you go, you can find me as Cable Flame. So let's see, any other interesting things? People have been talking about food. People have been talking about, oh, rhubarb crumble. Oh, that sounds delicious. I could so go on that. You know, someone asked an interesting question. When is the Club Mate going on sale today? I wish I knew. I had to borrow this Club Mate from Side Pocket because I thought, yeah, I'll wander downstairs. I'll grab some Club Mate. I'm not a big stimulant person, you know, like I have ADHD. I usually, you know, I take my medicine. It's already a stimulant. I didn't take it this morning, but, you know, it's already a stimulant. I can't have caffeine with when I take my ADHD medication because they have a synergistic effect and I feel like I took too many meds and I just want to crawl out of my skin. It's not fun. But yeah, this morning I thought I'd wake up, grab a little Club Mate. Not my favorite drink, but you know, it's a little different. It's pretty good. And they weren't open. So thank you to Side Pocket, who is C4BO3. Yes. Okay. Draft. Thank you very much. Draft is clarifying the spelling of my name, and that is correct. That is indeed how you spell it. I'm glad to see people are up and awake, and I'm glad to see that people are, you know, joining in on our chat channel. And wow, it's 8:50 already. Wow. You know, look at me. I could talk for a whole hour to myself. How do you like that? Yeah, I talk too much. It's true. But, you know, I hope you've, you know, I'm probably going to be signing off here soon, whenever our, hallway. Thank you, Draft. I think you're pretty cool, too. I'll be handing it over to our trusty engineer here, who, I don't remember his name, but he's doing a fabulous job here of taking care of us and keeping Radio Statler on the air, and I hope you've enjoyed us. We have just a couple more minutes to chat. Hyperleg states that Cape Breton is poser Newfoundland. I'll be honest, I've never been to Newfoundland. One of my favorite bands is from there. If you've never heard of the band called Great Big Sea, most Americans haven't. I'm a huge fan. They are absolutely fabulous. They play Celtic-tinged rock because of the Celtic influence in Newfoundland. They also play like old sea shanties and all sorts of, you know, they just rock out. One thing I like about them is it's not, they don't just have one singer. They all take turns singing. They are excellent musicians. I'm a big fan. So if you've never heard of a band called Great Big Sea, I highly recommend looking them up. Another one of my favorite Canadian bands that no one's probably ever heard of was a band called The Human Statues. I found out recently that they broke up, which makes me really sad because all my favorite bands break up. But, you know, see if you can go out there and find music by The Human Statues. They put out one album, and I'm actually a big fan of it. They were putting out a second album, but it didn't come out before they broke up, which is a shame because I really wanted to hear it. I found out about them at Toronto Has a Busker Fest. I don't know if you know what a busker is. It's street musicians. I don't know if we really use that word here in the States, but they get street musicians any kind of street entertainer. They get Toronto gets street entertainers from all over the world to come to their Busker Fest once a year and do extended sets, like an hour-long performance, and you just wander through and you pay what you're able at each performance or pay as you feel it's worth. And it's you know, it's a couple days long. They have buckets set up at the entrance. The money goes to Epilepsy Toronto. It's my absolute favorite festival in Toronto. Toronto has every weekend there's some kind of summer festival in Toronto, which is one of the reasons I love the city. And it's a great time. So I found out about the Human Statues through them. Another one of my favorite Canadian bands is Jacob Tutu. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's Jacob TWO-TWO, named after a famous children's book series and also made a famous children's cartoon. I'm a big fan of the children's cartoon. I love the animation style on it. It's really unique. It's sometimes available on, I think, Kubo, which I think is put up by NBC. Not sure. Anyways, big fan. But the band, Jacob Tutu, is awesome. I know if you go to CBC Radio 3, that's another live streaming radio station. Once Radio Statler goes off the air, you can go listen to them. Another live streaming radio station, which has all independent Canadian artists of all different types and stripes. It's excellent. But you can go on their website and find like 20 different songs by Jacob Tutu that you can listen to on the website. And my favorites are probably Tomorrow Afternoon and I think one's called Blue Tone. Big fans of those. And let's see here. How much more time do I have? It's 8:54. I'm not sure when I'm getting off the air here. 5 minutes. I've got 5 minutes left. All right. You guys can keep talking to me. Yes, CBC Radio 3 is available outside. Yes, Mad Joe. CBC Radio 3 is indeed available outside Canada. In fact, CBC Radio 3 is an internet-only station. So, you can access it. I wish more of CBC stuff was available outside of Canada. I have some favorite Canadian shows now, and unfortunately have not been able to watch the last season of it because I cannot find either legal or fair, you know, extra legal ways of acquiring the media. But yes, CBC Radio 3 is available anywhere in the world. Also, CBC Radio 1 and 2 is also available. So, you know, if you're interested, there's some excellent shows on there. If you like shows, if you like NPR shows like All Things Considered or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, there is a show called The Age of Persuasion, which is all about advertising, but which sounds like be boring, but it's actually a very interesting show. I highly recommend The Age of Persuasion if you're into that kind of stuff. Let's see, could you at the V sign to the camera, please, Winston Churchill. Like, ah, oh, I have to admit, I don't know how Winston Churchill did it, but I can totally do it. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me macking at the camera. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see me there. All right. So, let's see. Somebody says, great big lols. I pumped their gas once. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Canadian media. You know, you live there for 2 years, and it kind of happens, and you live there for 2 years, and especially if you took French before, you kind of pick up a couple more words in French. Toronto doesn't speak French. It just doesn't. Like, it would have served me a lot better in school had I studied Chinese, not had I studied French, because nobody speaks French in Toronto. Visiting school children from Quebec speak French in Toronto. That's not fair. There's a small French-speaking community in the downtown core. I know where they are. It's a couple blocks. It was near where I used to live, but Toronto's a heavily, heavily immigrant city, and over 40% of their population is immigrated from all over the world, and their largest immigrant group is Chinese. There are 3 separate Chinatowns in Toronto, and so I actually took the time to learn a little bit of Chinese. I'm sure I butcher it completely, but it's basically, excuse me, this is my stop. So I could say that when I went to Chinatown to the little old Chinese ladies and little old Chinese gentlemen to tell them that I'd like to get off now. Let's see. Draft asks, what's rewarding about Toronto? I'm not sure what you mean by rewarding, but it's a beautiful city. It's relatively clean. They don't think so, but at least if you're in the downtown area, they have excellent mass transit. I'm a big transit nerd. I've been on over 15 different systems all around the world, in Europe and North America. Fortunately, I've never been outside of those places. If anyone ever wants to talk transit to me, just come up to me. I will talk your ear off with transit. I actually used to serve on the DC area's Riders Advisory Council. I used to serve on that for a couple of months. I had to leave it when I started going to Toronto all the time. But let's see, Toronto is a beautiful city. It's clean. They have wonderful parks. They have extremely diverse ethnic neighborhoods because they're a heavily immigrant city. You can get fantastic food there. They have the Toronto Islands. Which if you take, I think it's $6.50, you take a ferry ride to go to them. They're beautiful. They're parks. They have gorgeous beaches. I love going to the beach in Toronto. They have a clothing optional beach, which I am rather fond of. And I can't tell you how much I love Toronto. The people are great. There's a big, big art scene. There's a lot of culture. My ex is extremely into improvisational comedy and improvisational theater, so I'm actually quite versed in their improv scene. It is one of the top cities in the world, actually, for improv. If Chicago's the second city, Toronto's probably the third city. They actually have a second city location in Toronto. There are a couple of other improv schools there. Gotta pimp out the ITC, the Impatient Theater Company. If you're interested in improv in Toronto, please check them out. They do long form. They are wonderful. I took their 101 class and loved it. So yes, ITC, you go, guys. Miss you. Miss you all. Toronto is it's an extremely vibrant city, and I have said at the times that it's the city that all the American cities wish they were and aren't. I love it. The only thing I don't love is the weather. I'm not a cold weather kind of person, so let's see. London Tube Hate, Berlin U-Bahn Love. I've been on the Berlin U-Bahn. I was on the Berlin U-Bahn when I was 17. I got to visit Berlin for 3 weeks, which was excellent. Never been to London. Would love to go on the tube there. Scott Pilgrim does live in Toronto. In fact, I read the Scott Pilgrim series when I was in Toronto, and Brian Lee O'Malley did a beautiful job of drawing things off of location and really capturing Toronto in those books. If you want to know what Toronto's like, read Scott Pilgrim. Read the books. It is just like that. And they shot a lot of the movie on location. So I've often said that, Scott Pilgrim lives in Toronto. I'm sorry. It's Scott Pilgrim's world. I just live in it. That's kind of what living in Toronto is like when you've read the Scott Pilgrim books, because they're spot on. It's amazing. Huge fan of the Scott Pilgrim series. Actually, recently acquired an Xbox 360 and got the video game. One of the first video games I got for it was the Scott Pilgrim game, and I just can't beat Gideon. I can't beat the last character. I'm just not that good at fighting games, but it's been really interesting here. And it is 8:59, so my guess is I'm going to have to be wrapping things up very soon here, and my engineer is nodding yes at me, and I'd like to thank you for listening to me for the past hour or so. I know it's been really rambly. I've enjoyed being on the radio with you and talking with you all, and I hope you've learned some things. I've hoped you've gained some new knowledge. I'm going to be here at the con for the rest of the conference, so if you're here at the convention, come up and say hi. I'd love to talk to you. And I hope you all had a good time here. So At this point, is it time for me to it is time for me to sign off. So I'd like to say thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to Radio Stapler. And this is Cable Flame signing off.